The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
On the holiday challenges, I'm calling it holiday challenges because I'm including three holidays that I'm looking at. I'm looking at that which is the time of Thanksgiving. The reason I hit finances, considering our finances last week, is because Black Friday was right around the corner. And I wanted us to be careful about our finances. People get in trouble. Everything looks bigger and better when it's on sale. But I often remind us that all the time things go on sale. Did you notice that? After Black Friday, what did they do? Now it's extended. Then they have Cyber Monday. And you think, okay, Monday, it's over. Oh, no, next day, extended. You know, now they're having sales all the way up until Christmas time. Yeah, and then they'll have New Year sales. Sure, and then Valentine's sales. Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be sales. So just be careful that you don't get led away in the wrong direction. But tonight, let's deal with something else. There's going to be people that's coming to your house, no doubt. You'll have people in for Christmas. People have more people over their house that are relatives for Christmas time than they do normally Thanksgiving. People come in to be able to share Christmas. And so let's talk tonight about what the Bible teaches concerning opinions. You're going to face them. The Bible says here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 again, the Bible says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now, to my knowledge, the word opinion appears four times in our Bible. Three of those times is found in Job 32. Job 32 and verse 6, the Bible says, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore it says, I was afraid and durst not to show you mine opinion. Job 32 and verse 10, the Bible says, therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show you mine opinion. Job 32 and verse 17, the Bible says, and I said, I will answer also my part, and I also will show you my opinion. Now, by the way, this was Elihu, and this is one of the friends of Job that is giving an opinion. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, where it talks about that word opinion, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. An opinionated type of person is someone that is obstinately, if you will, inherently would be that person that is just pushing a personal opinion. By the way, can I say something? Everybody has opinions. Everybody has opinions. An opinion is a stronger belief than an impression, but it's less strong than positive knowledge. That's what an opinion is. The Webster's Thesaurus says this about an opinion. It's someone's estimate. It's speculation. It's assumption. It's theory. It's a supposition. All right? In that which is the reading that we read a moment ago, when there was the 400 prophets of Baal, when they came, Elijah saying, well, how long halt ye between two opinions? He's saying this, why are you hung up on two different opinions? He said, why don't you just follow the truth? The Hebrew word for opinion is defined as this, double-minded. The Hebrew word for opinion is defined as divided in the heart or thoughts, troubled thoughts, division, one that is mentally hobbling along on crutches. The Greek word for the word opinion means this, whispering gossip. You will find this out in James chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now watch this, if you will, and you can believe me tonight that opinionated people will even have an opinion and maybe even whisper gossip, probably not in this church because you are who you are, but even about a sermon. They will. According to a Bible definition, an opinion, if you would please, should be that which is held. And we need to be cautious about being opinionated about many things. You'll find out that in the Bible, God tends, if you would please, to be lean toward those, if you will, that have a negative opinion or are very opinionated in their ways. He's very lean towards them. In other words, they don't understand the depth of God, and because they're swimming in their own mire, and so they don't really understand the depth of God's work. Let me give you some statements about opinions. Statement number one, God's commands are not opinions. God's commands are not his opinions. The Bible says the word of God is truth. There's a lot of things going around today by some younger preachers questioning the authority of the word of God. Now, can I tell you, we have the absolute word of God for the English-speaking people that has been inspired and preserved in the King James Bible. Now, there's no question about that. Now, I know some young bucks are out there right now, and they're trying to cause some division. They call themselves the new fundamentalists and stuff like that. But there is nothing new under the sun. Even during the days of Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan came and he says, "Hath God said?" What was he trying to do? He's trying to get people to doubt the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is truth. Psalm 119 and verse 142, the Bible says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." We see the word of God is pure. Psalm 119 and verse 140, the Bible says, "The word is pure." Now listen to it, "very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it." Psalm 12 and verse 6, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. And it says, "As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, it says purified seven times." The Bible says that God's word is the fact. It is fact, if you will. Over in Psalm 19 and verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." We see that following God's word will help us to clean up our opinions. Helps us to clean up our opinions. Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Cleanse his way. Cleanse his way. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So it cleanses our way. Psalm 119 verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." God's word is right. Psalm 19 and verse 8, Psalm 19 and verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So we see that God's word, as far as his commandments, are not that which should be our opinions, but or if you would please, just something we have an opinion about. But God's word and his commands are not necessarily the opinions of man, or not necessarily even the convictions of man, but God's word will always remain true. Somebody says, "If God said it, I believe it." You've heard this, and that settles it. There's only one problem with that. If God said it, doesn't matter if you believe it or not, still settles it. All right. We understand that if it's in the Bible, it's not an opinion. So God's commands are not his opinion. Statement number one. Statement number two. Let's give God not only his commands, but also his preferences. Oh, you said, "But preacher, I should do what God prefers." Oh, I think if you cared about the Lord and you loved him, you would do what God prefers. Okay? And so when we look at God's preferences, what's that mean? That means his wishes. That means his favorites. I worked for Dr. C.R. Williams for 8 years. His wife did like Maxwell House coffee. And in the morning time, we would have staff devotions every morning at 7:30. I got there between 6:30 and 7 o'clock every morning for all those many years, and I fixed her favorite coffee. You know why? Because I loved her. I wanted to provide a preference for her. It wasn't that she had a conviction about drinking that, but she preferred it. And so, because I liked her, I wanted to be able to do something that was pleasing to her. Okay? My dear wife likes tea. She likes tea. Now, she's from Florida, and she likes sweet tea. When we lived in New York and she would order tea and they give it to you in the Northeast without any sugar, she shook her head and said, "What in the world?" You know. And when you ask for spaghetti, when we lived in Brooklyn, you ask for spaghetti, you have to ask for spaghetti with sauce. Because if you just ask for spaghetti, they give you the noodles without the sauce. What you ask for is what you get, and that's only what you get. But here, they have sweet tea. Matter of fact, a lot of restaurants have sweet tea. All right? Now, because I love my wife and she prefers that, when it comes time to order a drink, many times I will order sweet tea for her. You say, "Well, do you do that out of conviction?" No, I don't do that out of conviction. I do that because I love her. I want to honor her preferences. I've told the story before. Dr. Williams always told our staff, I had no idea why he told our staff this. None of us had an inkling to do it. But Dr. Williams always said, "Now, look, you can sit on the platform and you can serve Jesus all day long, but don't you ever wear red socks on the platform." Now, I don't have a clue where that came from. Honestly, none of us was ever tempted to wear red socks on the platform. But apparently had a bad experience with something somewhere down the road. But now, because I loved my preacher, I found out what his preferences was, and I tried to please him. Because I did not want him to have to give me attention. I wanted him to have free course in serving God. All right, so here we see God's commands are not his opinions. We see that we ought to give God. I'm talking about God now, not only his commands. I gave you some examples of how I've been with other people. But if God says something in the Bible and you say, "Well, I tell you what, I just don't see eye to eye with God," it'd be better just to please the Lord. It would be better just to obey his preferences. The Bible says that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. All right? So as God is there, and God gives us commands, but he also shows us his preferences. Statement number next, we must understand the difference between spiritual convictions and preferences. Understand the difference between spiritual convictions and preferences. Conviction is something that's clearly and dogmatically proven in the Bible. That's a conviction. You can take it to a chapter and a verse. A conviction is something in which a person says, "I'm willing to stand for it no matter what." A conviction is when somebody, if you would please, they say that I have this conviction and this is my conviction. Well, you know, I want you to think about something, if you will please. If convictions come from the Bible, then all convictions are God's convictions and we simply agree with him. They're simply God's convictions. Oh, I hate this when people say this. They say this. They say, "Well, I'm not going to stop this." You've heard them. "I'm not going to start this until I get convicted about it." Now, I think that that's wrong. I don't think you ought to start something and stop something because you grieve the Holy Spirit or because you're convicted. I think you ought to start stuff and stop stuff because you love him supremely. I don't think you ought to wait till your daddy climbs your case before you do something that you know good and well he wants you to do. If he wants you to take out the trash, don't wait until he has to climb your case to take out the trash. You take out the trash because you love your daddy. You take care of responsibilities around the home. Don't wait till daddy has to raise his voice. Don't wait till mama has to raise the voice. No, no, no. There are certain things you know your daddy wants you to do and your mama wants you to do. And because you love them, you step up to the plate and say, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that because I love them." Don't wait till you get in trouble. All right? Conviction is when, from what I understand in the Bible, conviction is when the Holy Spirit of God works excessively on your heart about something. I know people that got saved because they were under conviction about hell. I know other people that got saved because they heard about the sweetness of heaven. Now, can I tell you, we ought to love God so much, "Oh, God, prove it to me." Well, first off, he don't necessarily have to do that, but if you'll read the Bible, he probably already did. But the problem is we don't love him enough to read the Bible. So when somebody gets up and they preach the Bible and it's foreign to us, we get mad at them. Now, can I say tonight that we must understand the difference between spiritual conviction and opinions? Statement number next. Then let's look at some of the observations about the opinions, if you will, and the opinions of others. I want you to think about some stuff tonight. Remember, everybody has an opinion, not just you. Everybody has an opinion, not just you. Opinions do not have to be expressed. You don't have to express your opinion all the time. Remember this, opinions are just that. They're opinions. What's an opinion? It's a speculation. It's a theory. It's an estimate. It's a supposition. It's an assumption, if you will. That's what an opinion is. Well, let me give you my opinion. Well, give me that plus a quarter and I'll go get me a cup of coffee. But now I'm going to say this. I understand this. You know, churches split because of opinions. You know, people get in fights over opinions. You know, people break relationships over opinions. It's my observation that somebody that is a strongly opinionated person, they don't receive others' opinions very well. The stronger they are in giving their opinion, the less likely they are in receiving somebody else's opinion. An opinionated person oftentimes is unapproachable. They're hard to approach because they're so dogmatic in their opinions. Opinionated people usually talk too much. They just talk too much. You know why? Because they're trying to explain that their opinion is the most important thing. You know, I prefer that which is the conservative opinions over the weak and the liberal opinions. I'd rather have somebody that's more conservative than somebody more liberal teaching a Sunday school class. I'd rather have somebody rearing their children being a little bit more conservative than somebody rearing their children being a little bit more liberal. Because if you study it out, you'll find out what the end result of each one of those are. Now, may I say this? Opinionated people are very strong people. Oftentimes, they have the strong opinions, and they want to share their strong opinions. Now, here's a danger. They share their strong opinions so much, it sounds like Bible doctrine. Now, you're quiet. I think a man of God ought to get up and preach sometimes hell, fire, and brimstone. I think a man of God ought to get up sometimes and ring people out. But I think sometimes he ought to get up and ought to preach about the love of God, about forgiveness and restoration, about how a person can be helped by and by. As the follower, if you will yield to an opinion's leadership, sometimes it will help. Give an example. You say that your husband is the leader of the home, but when you stand in opposition against him, it causes problems in the home. You say, I love my mom and daddy, but when you stand against your mom and daddy, it causes problems in the home. Well, I love my youth director, but when you stand against the youth director, it causes problems in the youth department. Don't be this person, if you would please. It says, well, my opinion matters. If you believe that, answer the phone. Opinionated people are usually people that are usually first to be the people, if you will please, that are disloyal people. Because they're pushing their agenda. Opinionated people tend to get out of control and won't receive a lesson very well. Now they're strong opinionated. Overly opinionated people hurt others and always blame the weakness on the hurt that they caused. Opinionated people always feel like they've got to get the last word in. They just got to get the last word in. You know, in my experience, I find this, that most, now not all, but strongly opinionated people have rage problems. When you talk to their children, you find out that the ones that are strongly opinionated are disagreeing with each other, even in their own house. strongly opinionated people. Strongly opinionated people usually have an extra battle with pride. Strongly opinionated people need to learn that your right may not be the only right. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about compromising the Bible. I'm not talking about that. We have good Bible standards, but we teach them from the Bible. We have a good Bible direction, and we teach it from the Bible. But some of you kids need to learn that if mom and daddy, they don't have to have a Bible verse for you to make your bed or to clean your room. They don't have to do that. There needs to be a time in your life when you say, I love mom and daddy so much that I'm going to help, not hurt or be a burden. I said many a time, I did. I served under some great pastors. I served under John Morgan, and I'd sit on the platform, and he'd be preaching. And there might have been some times when I heard him preach, and he had the largest independent Baptist church in the state of New York. It might have been times when I sat there and I heard him preach that I didn't agree with everything he said. Number one, he never knew. Number two, nobody else ever knew. Number three, you will never know. You know why? Because he's a dear man of God. And I loved it. You say, oh, he's not perfect. Yeah, neither was I, and I knew it. Yeah. I've heard Lester Roloff preach. I didn't agree with his thing maybe about the eating. Mostly because I didn't have the character to do it. Now, can I say this? Watch this. I'm saying this. I'm saying that the people that are strongly opinionated, normally they got a problem with that pride thing. Strongly opinionated people need to learn that your right may not be the only right. You know, we teach people who go soul winning. We have people that use the book of John to go soul winning. That's what they do. We have people that use the book of Romans when they go soul winning. We have people mix it up, and they use verses from every place under heaven in the Bible as they go soul winning. Yeah, we do. We really do. You know, we have people, believe it or not, we do. We have people that they prefer always to walk with their right foot leading off when they go into a room. We do. We have other people that lead off with their left foot every time they turn a corner or go into a room. We do. We have people in our church, they like the glasses that have the rims around them. We like I have other people in the church that they like glasses that are rimless. We have other people in the church. We have people in the church that dye their hair. We have people in the church that wish they had hair to dye. Now, may I say tonight, listen, the best thing you could ever do, though, is keep your opinions to yourself. We'll find out if we agree on the Bible and the Bible being true and we preach it and we go out and we tell people about Christ and we try and help the world come to know Christ as Savior, it would be an amazing, amazing thing. Statement number next, and I'm done. Learn to teach conviction strongly and opinions lightly. Learn to teach convictions strongly and opinions lightly. When we teach and preach, here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Over in the Bible, we find this. Okay? Now you can take that to the house. You can take that to the house. But if a person gets up and all they're doing is sharing just opinion about this and opinion about that, well, everybody's got opinions. And by the way, the more opinions you share, the more opinions you find out that people have different than you. It's true. It's true. Somebody says, well, I think everybody ought to eat vanilla ice cream. Well, that's a pretty strong opinion. But that doesn't mean it's true. Well, I think everybody ought to like strawberries. Well, that's a pretty strong opinion, but that doesn't mean it's true. I personally think that to eat watermelon without salt is crazy. But if you don't do it, it's not going to bother me. Hello? You see, I just divided the church, and that's a good way to end the challenge. But I want us to be careful. Here we go. You can have somebody come to your house. They're going to come over Christmas time. A good time at Christmas is to point them to Christ. I tell them about the gospel. You get into opinions about, well, I tell you what, that mama didn't bake it that way. Mama always baked it right. You just got yourself a kitchen fight. That rhymed, didn't it? Let's go out and look at the motor. Well, I tell you what, I don't think anybody ought to drive a Ford. I think they all ought to be Chevy people. Only Chevy people is going to go to heaven. Well, you just gave a pretty strong opinion about something that doesn't make any sense. You see where I'm going with this? Now, I'm not saying compromise your music. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying compromise your dress. I'm not saying compromise and you start picking up slang words and curse words. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying compromise your belief in your Bible or compromise your belief in the blood atonement of Christ or the return of. I'm not saying compromise any Bible truth. Understand, there's a difference between a Bible truth and a simple opinion.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.